Good morning. We welcome everybody who is worshiping with us this morning, and glad you got out on this nice, brisk, cold winter day. I'd like to remind everybody that we do have our annual meeting and potluck after church today downstairs. There will be childcare after we've all had an opportunity to eat. There will be childcare in the Galdi playroom. And then I also would like to tell you we have a lovely rose over here this morning. We're celebrating the birth of a new child, Jose Pedro Hidalgo. Pedro Hidalgo, who was born yesterday. He weighed 8 pounds and 11 ounces. And Mother Carmen, I'm sure, is glad that's over. So the mother is Carmen Rivera, and the father is Jose Hidalgo. So we welcome Jensen into the world today. This Friday is the youth lock-in, and there's nonviolence training, and that starts at 7 o'clock Friday afternoon, and it will go to Saturday noon. And Pastor Chris would like you to let her know by Tuesday if you're going to be there or not. So you youth who are going to attend that, please let her know. Also, I believe it's the Nurture Committee, takes meals to people in, you know, who are in stressful situations. And if you would be willing to help with those meals, you need to let Tammy Murray, Pastor Chris, or Cheryl Mason know. Under the deacons, if you're willing to do that, please let one of those three people know that you'd be willing to help. And then also, next Sunday is the College Fellowship Brunch at 11:30. So you hungry college students, I'm sure you'll remember that one next week. Are there any other announcements that I might have missed or that you need to bring up? Seeing none, then let us worship God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God. Please join together in singing number 2131, and it will be sung twice after we listen to it once. God's love is steadfast and endures from age to age. Our love falters. Our faithfulness waxes and wanes from day to day. Let us confess our sins first silently and then in unison. Let us pray. O God, if we claim to have fellowship with Christ, yet walk in the ways of the world's values, we are liars. If we claim to possess the light, but hide it under a bushel. Of what use is such wisdom to the world? If we rest secure in our abundance, while all about us others go hungry and their lives are imperiled, what has become of our call to share the good news? You know our inmost selves, O God. We cannot hide from you. Forgive our betrayal of your Son and restore us to fellowship with him. Amen. There is no greater joy in the heart of God than the moment when a son or a daughter opens to the gift of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, know we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen. This is a time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another as we lift our hearts in prayer, and I know that from my emails this week that there are many joys and concerns in the life of this church, so I invite you to bring them this morning, and I will share the mic with you, or Nicholas will share the mic with you.
So I think a lot of people are aware that my oldest sister, Sherry, has a variety of health issues. And this past Monday, she was taken to the hospital with an infection. They're not quite sure what it is, so they're still trying to figure that out. She had a fever. The fever is down, but the doctors still don't know exactly what's going on. And they think she may have also even suffered a slight stroke. So prayers for my sister, Sherry, and for the doctors as they try to figure out how best to treat her.
I'd like prayers for Lamar, who has end-stage Parkinson's disease, and for my sister Jan, who's helping to take care of him.
I've had some progress in my eye this week, so I can see better than I was, so I'm thankful for that. And I'd like continued prayers for Walter.
Thank you very much for your prayers for my father-in-law, Paul. Finally, doctors found what's wrong with him. Took them a month. If you are a cardiologist or if you know a cardiologist, good cardiologist, please let me know. We need one. Thank you.
I'd love your prayers for my grandmother, who is seems to be dying. She's almost 102, and so if you could pray for my family. And I would also love your prayers. This Friday, I am taking my next ordination exam and would love to pass. And just prayers for timing of my grandmother's death and all of that, too. So thanks.
Don't worry, you will pass.
I just want to say thanks to God. My dad was in a big car accident, four cars and an 18-wheeler, and he walked away unscathed.
Well, prayers for Julie, since she's been bugging me every morning. Anyways, a speedy recovery. She's in good spirits. I know if I had a broken ankle, I wouldn't be in that good of a spirit. But she's doing well, just a speedy recovery. And prayers for my friend Clarence, which some people know. He's dealing with some kind of depression and not being able to sleep. So, you know, it's taking a toll on him. Just prayers that the doctors find out what's going on.
It was a real joy to have Josie sing with the chancel choir this morning. You know, for those of us who sing, every song is a prayer. So if you're a singer, you get to pray twice.
I've asked for prayers for my sister Mary, who lives in Denver. This week I last asked for prayers that she not gloat.
Good morning. My name is Lisa Masada. I'm visiting from the Fourth Presbyterian Church in South Boston, and I bring greetings from my pastor, the Reverend Byrne Stanfield. And thank you for welcoming me. When I got to the door, Nicholas and a couple of the young people were right there to help me feel at home. I appreciate that, and it's good to be with you today.
Last week I asked for prayers for Reverend David McDonald in Indiana. I understand that his brain injuries are very, very severe. He's been moved out of the neuro uh, critical care unit into a hospice room and has been taken off of support. Prayers for David and for Carol, his wife.
I want to share our joy. My brother, he just arrived on Wednesday from Iraq with his family and his child, and they want to go to California to live there. So thanks to God, they are safely came, and we pray for them to let God lead them there.
Let us pray. Oh God, we come before you on a gloriously sunny morning, and it is a day in which we have many joys. We're thankful for new life, for the birth of Jensen. We pray for him and his family that they may be surrounded by your love, and that Jensen will thrive. We thank you for the joy of the Wadia family in that Veen's brother has arrived from Iraq with his family. Be with them all as they continue to their path towards settling in this country. We thank you, God, for visitors and the blessings that they bring to our congregation and the greetings they bring from other churches as they come to visit us. We thank you for the joy of music and the blessing of music, and that it can bring us so much pleasure, but at the same time that the music can nurture our spirit, and that, yes, as we sing, we pray as well. And we thank you for the enthusiasm of young people like Josie, who've already embraced that love of music. And we thank you for those who lead us with all of their music ministries. We are so blessed. We thank you, God, that we may gather together and worship you, that we can celebrate you, that we can praise you. And we pray that all that we do will be according to what you would desire. We thank you, God, for people who are healing. We thank you that Paul's problem has finally been diagnosed, and we thank you that there is healing possible. We pray that God will guide doctors and give them insight for people who still need treatment. We pray that the doctors will be with Judy's sister. May they have wisdom, insight, and understand what is possibly going on with her. We thank you that Judy is improving in her eyesight, that we pray that you'll continue to be with Walter as he needs healing. Be with Lamar as he deals with Parkinson's in the advanced stages, and be with Jan, who must care for him. Be with all those around him, that they may deal with him with compassion. Be with Sherry, and we pray that the doctors will have insight. We pray that you'll be with Shirley Jones's godson, Gerard, as he is fighting the flu. We pray, oh God, for all of those whose concerns we know and those we do not know. Be with those for whom death is near. May they feel your presence upholding them. We think especially of David McDonald today and be with his wife, Carol. May Carol know your love surrounding her. May they feel the support of the prayers and love from all of the people whose lives they have touched. Be with those who need just to remain positive and optimistic or to find hope. Be with Shirley as she's trying to do this, but there are so many others as well, God. We pray that you will be with people who are living in areas of violence. May they find peace within themselves. But we pray, oh God, that we may find peace throughout the world, that no one will have to live in the middle of conflict and violence, whether it be in their homes, within their neighborhoods, within their countries. Be with the leaders of our nation and all nations, and may they truly seek what is good for the welfare of all people. May they seek to work together rather than against one another. We pray, O God, that your will be done, that your realm may know its fullness. And in the meantime, God, we pray that we will be patient and help us to work towards your realm and the perfection of that you would prefer. Lead us to reach out to the hungry, the homeless, those who are in need in any way, those who suffer from mental illnesses. Oh God, we raise up all of our prayers to you, and we do it with the confidence, knowing that we are your children. And we pray together as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward for the children's message this morning. Okay? One to all of our kids here. String, string. Here, I'll give you one. There you go. anyone, Kenny. I know it's a hard decision.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's bow our heads for a prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. In the Pew Bible, it is on page 600. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 10 through 18. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Perhaps there is no better way to experience our unity than in over food in an annual meeting, I would think. However, those of you who have been around this congregation for more than a little bit of time know that we are not a congregation that thinks all in the same way. We are not a congregation that is in constant agreement all the time. We are also not a congregation that is afraid to speak our differences. And so it is with fear and trepidation always that I face this lectionary passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthians as we seek to unravel and unwrap and understand what Paul is talking about in this time. So we will try again to do that this morning. Last Friday evening, the Nurture team gathered for yet another transition in the life of our church. Gina Bay started the meeting by celebrating the fact that despite all of the winds of transition which have blown through PPC, Providence Presbyterian Church, in this last year, there has been much accomplished, a whole page of accomplishments by the Nurture Committee, seeking to follow Christ in this year past. You will hear more about that in the meeting as we gather together downstairs, or you may read about it in the annual report as well, not just for Nurture, but in all areas of the life of this church. And also at that meeting, we elected new co-chairs of the Nurture Committee, Juliet Chan and Sally Lockhart, and we celebrated and cheered that reality as we move forward with Gina taking the chairing the nominating committee, the search committee for a new permanent full-time pastor. How, why do we make it through these times of transitions? Certainly not because you are a pastor-centered church, but because you are a ministry-centered church, grounded in the living Christ whom we alone seek to worship and serve. And as Elliot Fisher wisely noted in our time together, so much the stronger by the differences that are evident between us. Jesus is at the center of all that we seek to do, and we continually come back to that reality. However imperfectly and humbly we come to that exercise. And as I have told a couple of people this week, there's nothing like a new co-pastor to come and ask why we do things the way we do them to elicit humility, but also to help us to go deeper in the ways in which we are thinking about the ways that we follow Jesus Christ in this time. And so it is most appropriate that we encounter again this week's lectionary passage, this text calling us to unity together, to remember the center and source of our life and blessing in Jesus Christ, no matter what challenging things may come our way. And they have indeed for so many, and are, as we heard in our prayers this morning and all weeks. Paul's opening of the first letter to the Corinthians is a plea that the church be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Think about that early church. Having received the great power of Christ's message and resurrection, they are now sent forth to live that out in their lives. And they have a million ideas about how to do it, and a lot of leaders on fire to do that. Does any of this sound familiar to you? It may come as a surprise to you, but we don't all think alike in this church. We don't all look alike. We come from many different backgrounds, experiences, opportunities, many different resources and gifts, and yet the message of our scripture today is that we may still live as a community, united in the same mind and the same purpose. How can that be? How can such a varied congregation come together to be united in mind and purpose? It seems almost impossible. But Scripture tells us, and we have seen it ourselves, that nothing
is impossible with God. It's our privilege to be able to gather together in Christian community to seek God's love and grace together, to seek to follow Jesus Christ more closely. The interim study committee, our diverse group of folks working through much of last year, looked deeply at our church and what holds us together as a community of faith as they pondered where God is calling us next. In the midst of that task, they came to reaffirm the mission statement which has guided this church now for over a decade, since before I came to serve you. Called together by the Holy Spirit, Providence Presbyterian Church is a welcoming and inclusive community of faith committed to Jesus Christ and the Word of God as proclaimed in the Bible. Through worship, education, and fellowship, we strive to use our myriad gifts and resources to share God's message of love while enriching the spiritual growth of each individual and serving the needs of our diverse community and the world. This mission continues to be who we seek to be. First and foremost, a welcoming and inclusive community of faith committed to Jesus Christ. Paul's text doesn't say that it is easy to agree as we journey together to the purpose that God has for us. But it is a call for us to be in agreement with no divisions between us, united in the same mind and purpose. We have a choice as to whether our agreements become divisions. And we will affirm later in the scripture words of Paul to the church at Philippi that the same mind, the same purpose that we have is rooted in Jesus Christ. Our agreement is to be and to continue to be in relationship, in the commitment to be together, even to wrestle through the hard places and the issues of our day and in the broader society, that there be no divisions between us, no factions developing, but that when we come out on the other side, our focus will be towards a common purpose, a purpose which is completely grounded in Christ and living that out in this place and in the world. The early church in Corinth struggled with that. With factions and allegiances to various leaders and perspectives, each claiming their own truth and gathering up followers. And our text this morning reminds us that we seek the truth of Jesus Christ alone. And yet even that poses peril as we concentrate on differing emphases of the message, as different texts speak to us in different ways in Jesus' ministry. It is good to reflect and to tune our minds to seek Christ's purpose in our ministry and mission together. We are all the stronger by the differences and the commitments that we bring to that table. We are all the stronger as we look at our lives and how we are living them and ask that question of ourselves: are we seeking to live Christ's purpose? Our unity in mind and purpose comes as we seek to identify how we will act as a congregation, how we will live that out, the face that we will bring to the world, growing in Christ, deepening discipleship, welcoming all people, honoring our diversity in ways that respect all people, living in mission in the world. Our faith is not something just for us to reserve for Sunday morning. And there is a true unity of purpose for us in that. Though each one of us has a piece of the puzzle to make it happen, a particular way that God is gifting each of us to act, these four strands are together in purpose in our mission statement. Paul will write later in this Corinthian letter that each one has a part to play. The eye is not more important than the ear, for all work together for the good of the body. What was happening in Paul's time is that people were choosing up sides. In other texts in Corinthians, they were saying that one person's gifts were better than another or more important to the whole of the community, to the unity of the community, when all of them are needed to weave together a stronger whole. That great passage that we read so often at weddings, love is patient, love is kind, is not a wedding passage. It's about a church that's fighting with one another. Remember that next time you hear it at a wedding. But it's a great call to us to be rooted in Jesus Christ, the love of Christ that was poured out for all of us. This will take root for us in exciting ways in this year to come. It is already taking root in some very exciting ways. I'm excited to see how that is going to unfold in yet another year of transition at Providence Presbyterian Church. Some of you will work very closely with Pastor B in her gifts. Some of you will work closely with me. Some of you will work with both of us. Some of you will be following wise leaders in this congregation in ways that your pastors could never lead you. And examples of that abound here again and again. Think of the emergence of Beautiful Day in this last year of working with refugees. Think of the image of 34 of our members from all parts of our congregation working together, walking together on the AIDS walk. Think of our candidates for ministry. Definitely pray for Kathy on Friday as she takes an ordination exam. But our candidates for ministry, Kathy Cooper and Jerson Roca, our student in seminary, Melody Ward, and Jade Alves, who's hoping to go to seminary in a church of 130 members, 4 people in preparation for ordination and ministry beyond their current ministry. All of it works together in common purpose to live out this focus, to help us grow closer to Christ and Christ's mission for our lives as individuals and in community for our world. The power to live this out is the gospel message, grounded in the cross of Christ, of a Jesus who gave his life that we might live. Paul will write in the second letter to the Corinthians, the power lies with Christ, in the cross of Christ, the one who became sin and lived in constant connection to God, so that we might be joined to him and learn to live in that way to become the righteousness of God. It is Christ who makes us one and able to reach across the differences between us, to learn from one another, to challenge, to grow, to comfort, and to engage issues that are so difficult in our world. We come together this Sunday to celebrate our annual meeting and to reach again for that unity of mind and purpose as we reflect back on this year behind us as we look forward to the year that has already begun. We still have ways to go and stretch and to learn together and from one another and to listen carefully to where God is calling us in the next chapter of this life. It is a very exciting journey, and we are glad to have everyone here taking part in it. It is God's power at work in us that we seek to live out, and we are called to live out of that reality that we live in Christ and gain our power in and through him. Friends, we have good news to share. As a community of a faith, as hearers of that gospel message, let us live in a unity of mind and purpose that our work may proclaim God's praise today and always. Amen. As we seek to go forth this morning, then let us share together in our affirmation of faith Paul's words to another church, the Church of Philippi, found in your bulletin this morning. Let us stand and affirm this passage together. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Let us continue to worship God by bringing forth our tithes and offerings.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The chance of times brings out the news, another day is true. Someone slip and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be discouraged, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He will do it for you. With arms wide open, He pardon you. Yes, it is no secret what God can do. There is no dark, for in His light you never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may go. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for do it for you. With arms wide open, He pardon you. Yes, it is no secret what God
thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we humbly bring these gifts to you today. We ask that you bless them, and that they be used to further your work here in the church and in the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
to the one who is able to strengthen you according to the mercy and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the only wise God, be glory in Jesus Christ now and forevermore. And together, may we join together in fellowship and unity as we gather downstairs following this worship service. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Do it.